Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento. Glory, glory, Sacramento. The Republic marches on.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my, do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance, and it rattles in! Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento King!
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Blake Marquez, joined, as always, by Richard Ivanowski. How's it going, Rich?
It's going great, man. It is going great. Fourth straight win in a row for the Republic. But I want to ask you how you're doing after your first match as a credentialed member of the media last Saturday night.
Man, I am just, first of all, like, so thankful to the Sacramento Republic for having us there. It was awesome to get to experience that with you. It was just, you know, first time I've ever attended any sporting event as a media, credentialed media outlet. And it was just awesome. Super, super unique because of these times, you know, no crowd. We took in all the sights, all the sounds, really got to hear Briggs's communication, the players' communication with them, you know, and with themselves, which that'll eventually go away. So I'm trying to take that in, but hopefully we're there for the long haul and can keep these credentials and keep moving forward. It was super insightful to be there and awesome. Just super fun.
Yeah. And I'll also say it's kind of nice to get to know this team during this, downtime, just because it can be overwhelming at times. My first game at Golden One Center covering the Kings, I was like, I thought I was going to pass out because there was 25,000 people there, and it was a little bit much for me. A lot of flashing lights and, a pretty new, very expensive arena. Just like everything was, people that I've seen on TV a million times, reporters as well as players, of course. Took me a month probably to ask my first question to a player. It can be a little bit trying to jostle for position in a media scrum with guys that I see on TV every day. It can be overwhelming. So I think it's nice to kind of get in when things are a little mellow at Papa Murphy's Park, because of course that thing does get loud.
I didn't ask any questions. I know you didn't either. Before we were on our way there, I was like, I might give you a question, but I don't want to ask a question myself because I was just too nervous. I was really, really overwhelmed.
And we also got to meet some of the other guys that cover the Republic, which was really nice. Got to kick a ball around with the 916 Republic podcast. Those guys are fantastic. Definitely recommend checking them out. We got some more guests on. Met GT Battle, who's been on the show. We're going to talk with Evan Ream. Excited about that later in this week. He'll have a special episode just talking with him a little bit, focusing on the history of the team. But yeah, so this game, as I mentioned, was a win, a little bit of a shakier one, definitely in the first half. You mentioned this might have been the first time they went into halftime a goal down. I didn't check that, but that sounds right.
I meant to look that up a second ago. At halftime, I told you, I was like, I don't think we've been down at halftime before. We've definitely been equal a few times, but yeah, I don't think we've gone into halftime, down. And that kind of, we've said it before, and the tides are turning on this, so we might not be able to, say this for much longer, but I still have the feeling that we're somewhat of a first half team. And so going down in the first half kind of scared me. I was walking to the car for the break, just like, man, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to pull two back. It didn't look like a very good first half, but it happened. We woke up in that second half for sure.
For sure. Do you want to go into this first half goal from the Timbers first?
Let's talk about the lineup a little bit.
Okay. But this one, I almost skipped over it. We usually do lineups first, but I almost skipped over it because there was no changes. There were no changes whatsoever. Diaz in goal, McCrary, Apollon, Hilliard Arce, Sargis on the back line, Skundrich and Belmar, Rodrigo Lopez, Bijev, Formella, your sort of mids and wings, depending on how you look at it, and Iwasa all the way at the top.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw pretty much the same, you know, same positions, same lineup for sure. Basically, same idea as last week. One thing we noticed towards the end of the first half was Formella and Bijev decided to switch. So Formella moved inside and Bijev moved back out. And, you know, that's when things started looking better to me. Things looked a little more creative. Formella seemed to wake up. I'm still starting to think I have a little bit of bias just depending on what player's closest to where we're sitting or where the camera is. Because that second half, I noticed Formella more, and it may have been because he moved central, or it may have been because he started playing better. But I think there's a little bit of something going on with who's closest to us there.
That's a real thing, especially when you're there. You're so close to, like, Belmar in the first half was on our side. And Formella was far, and I honestly, like, didn't notice Formella doing much in the first half, but I'm going to chalk that up to him just honestly not doing that much. Yeah. I just, even when that switch came in the second half, Bijev was closer to us, but I didn't really see him doing that much on the left side either. I thought Belmar was more active, making very aggressive runs. You know, when he controls the ball – at that right wing position, he takes his time with it. I mean, he's definitely hard to miss because he's making some nice, you know, what do you call that, hold up play? Or he definitely has some flashy dribbles to him. Definitely hard to miss.
Yeah, it didn't look all there. This was the first half. Actually, we've seen this against LA Galaxy too, but it seemed like, you know, we were in our own half for probably the first 5 minutes. That's never a good sign. I mean, pressure will come and go, tides will change. But I was, against a team like T2, you shouldn't go down like that. And going a goal down, we heard a lot of complaints. On, you know, it seemed like a lot of people might have been blaming each other. Don't know how normal that is, but something I definitely noticed, again, first time being at a game at this level with no crowd, so maybe just because of lack of experience there. But one thing I really noticed that Skundrich mentioned in the post-match press conference was people asked what went wrong in that, and he goes, you know, what got better in the second half? And he said, you know, I should have been communicating better. He put it on a little bit of himself as the captain. I should have been communicating better. We were in positions where we shouldn't have been, and I should have fixed that. So I thought that was pretty nice, pretty cool of him.
Yeah, and he spoke about this goal. Let's get into the goal now.
Yeah.
It was interesting because as we were watching it, we both kind of noticed opposite things. You noticed the where Bijev was positioned more, and I noticed more Sargis's aggressive closeout, and he got beat on the turn. That's what stood out to me a little more. But I think ultimately we're both absolutely right. Like it was a compounded issue. Goals are rarely, you know, one player's fault or whatever. So that's the situation here. It seemed that Skundrich was marking, his name is Gonzalez Onsenzi. Apologize if my pronunciation is incorrect. But it looked like Skundrich was marking him. And then Bijev kind of drifted over in that direction in his, frankly, in his kind of slow, there's no urgency to his defensive play, I think. And he kind of drifted over, jogged over in that area. Skundrich saw he was in that area and looked like he was going to be moving on to marking that guy. So Skundrich moved off of him, but Bijev wasn't really assertive with that decision. So they both kind of hesitated and, yeah, and Bijev stepped kind of away, but Skundrich was stepping away and the Timbers player, you know, found number 70, split those two Republic players with a pass. Gonzalez and Senzi turned, and Sargis had rushed out to meet him, but the turn was perfectly timed, got right around him, beat that aggressive defensive play, and put it past Rafa.
Yeah, I mean, I would have definitely liked to see Skundrich face him up, let him turn, make him beat you.
Sargis, you mean?
Yes. Sorry, Sargis. I would like to see him face him up, let him turn, make him beat you face up, you know. But there was definitely a lack of communication there. But I was glad to see Skundrich kind of take it. He was very frustrated after the game, or after the goal. I apologize. After the goal, very frustrated, very verbal about it. But it was nice to see him kind of say, you know, my responsibility as the captain is to fix those issues communicatively, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's his job, to get on his teammates and to tell them what they're doing wrong. That is his job. It's tough sometimes because he can be at fault too. I would say that Tomas Lyarce is another very vocal member of this team. And he likes to get on his guys, but he also makes mistakes himself. So it can be odd a little bit when, you know, when you're yelling at your teammates, that's a good thing, but it's also, you do have to wonder, you know, someone should be yelling at you too, in a way. So Skundrich is very, very vocal, probably the most vocal player on this team, as he should be, captain. But I also, I don't know. It's really tough. We're adjusting to seeing this team in person every game, and it's tough to know, you know, are we noticing them jawing at each other this much more because we're there and we can hear it, or is this a thing? Are these guys blaming each other a little too much? One thing I know I don't see a lot of, if ever, is a guy taking ownership. You know, this is me, but, you know, we're going to improve, you know, basically clapping up their fellow teammates. Like, I want to see guys, like, and I'm pointing this out with Bijev especially, when something goes wrong, or, you know, he hits a ball wrong, or he ends up offside or whatever, I feel like he slumps his body language. I would like to see him turn to his teammates, clap, cheer, and, you know, tell these guys, we're getting them next time, you know, that sort of thing. There does seem to be some negativity at times.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that. There's there might be just a little bit of a you know what, dude, mark that down. Let's just leave that at me agreeing with that. I have nothing to add. Sorry.
No worries. Keep rolling.
But yeah, I mean, are there any other moments in the first half that, like, really stuck out to you, really made you, like, because I didn't see much change other than the fact that usually we come out much stronger. But the tactics seem the same. The tactics, you know, we saw a rotation in the midfield. We saw pressure. We saw movement when it needed to be there. And we conceded, I almost said early goal, but we conceded the first half goal. Was there any other moments that stuck out to you? Because there was the first thing I noticed in the second half I want to get into.
No, yeah, I would say that there's less to talk about in this first half, as you said, for all those reasons you mentioned. And then also, I think because I personally am not rewinding and looking at things closer and having that view on the game, I'm also adjusting to, you know, you hear more, but maybe see a little bit less, or able to rewind and take closer looks at things. So, you know, hopefully we're going to make up for any less analysis with more you know, direct impressions from the team and with more great guests that are going to be coming on the show. But I think we're in a little bit of an adjustment here. In that first half, you know, I don't have much to say other than same lineup, same positives, same negatives for the most part as the last game. What do you got for us in the second half?
So, I mean, second half, the first thing I noticed was we saw a change in Hilliard Arce coming out for Matt Mahoney. And the difference there was I actually thought Hilliard Arce was quiet in the first half. I thought I could barely hear him. He definitely was like communicating, but there wasn't a lot of the some of the stuff that we've talked about that I was expecting to hear from him. And then they come out and we don't get these announcements that we normally get. And I start seeing Matt and I'm like, oh, Hilliard Arce is talking a lot more. And then I see his number and I'm like, oh, that's Mahoney. Okay. And that's when I pointed it out to you fairly early in the first half, or I'm sorry, second half, and much, much more communication. There was no blame. There was no like, you need to be doing this. It was just like, guys, this is what we're doing. Come here. Cause I need your help. Go there. Cause I'm good. Just very, very, very good communication on his end. One thing that stuck out to me was there was a free kick for T2. And the best of my knowledge, it seemed like it was Matt Mahoney, but he on me telling the line, don't move till I move. I'll tell you when, like just very demanding of that offside trap, of that offside line, and doing a great job communicating. That was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, let me ask you about this back line, because we also saw Shannon Gomez get his first minutes after returning from very significant severe injuries that have kept him out for a better part of a year. He's also a defender. That, you know, is there any pressure on this back line? There are guys knocking on the door. Like Mahoney wasn't able to play in the last Saturday's game due to the accumulation of yellow cards. But, you know, the last game he was able to play in, he put an incredible cross on for an assist, essentially an assist on that Cam header. I wonder if he's knocking on that door, you know, maybe Gomez knocking on the door a bit too once he get fully, you know, his feet back under him. Any pressure there?
So from just your interview with Cameron, right? Cameron from the B?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of gave us some insight of things I already expected as far as Briggs is a earn your spot. I want there to be some competition within the club for these spots. So, yeah, I definitely think now that we have some fullbacks, or, you know, with Gomez coming back, with Mahoney looking honestly good every time he comes on the field, there's definitely some competition. People are going to have to start earning their role in that back spot and or in that back line. One thing we agreed on at some point in the game was McCurry's probably – I mean, we haven't put it like this. We just basically agreed that he's a very good player. But I feel like if anyone's not going to lose their spot, it's McCurry.
Absolutely. I think he's been the most consistent defender. He doesn't have that like 18-year-old upside where you think there's additional reason to keep him on, even if he's developing a bit, like Hidden Sargis, of course. Mm-hmm. But as far as game in, game out performance, he's locked in.
Yeah, I mean, and he offers a full spectrum that you need from your fullbacks. He can get up and attack. He's all very aggressive. He's just well-rounded. He's great for that position. And, yeah, I'm glad we can agree on that.
Let me ask you about Ash. You got to see him close up. He's really impressive at times. And other times, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned in the last game, he can be a little bit, I don't know, at odds, I would say, with other defenders. He kind of does his own thing. I think he's kind of a character. And I would also, I'll get into that in a minute, but I would say it's interesting that he got selected for Team of the Week in a game that didn't really stand out to me from him. He's good and he has great flashes, but we all know that's not really his natural position. And we all know that no one expected him to be on this team and definitely didn't expect him to be starting every game. But, you know, how do you feel about Ash and his spot in this starting 11?
He is a very, like, moment-by-moment player to me. Like, almost like quarters of the game at a time, if not, like, legit moments, like, possession-based. Because he can just really help you, like, open up an attack for you. He can get some crucial stops in there for you. But he can also make some of the silliest giveaways, get beat at times. Like, it's just, yeah, he's just a very moment-by-moment player. And it's funny that he got elected to the Team of the Week, because after we recorded, we kind of agreed, or while we recorded, we agreed that maybe Belmar would be the only player that we'd switch out for Sam Warner in this coming game. And after that, I was like, oh man, maybe I should have added Apollon to that. But he got elected, and they made some good points. In one of Cam's articles, he was talking a lot about, like, just some crucial blocks that he made. So I'll concede on that one. But he's overperforming for what everyone expected. Even if he's there out of necessity, he's still doing his role fine. But I'm excited now that there's going to be some more competition in that. And I think this is a great time to get into the sub. One thing I had said once we start getting some fullback options again is I want to see him on the wing, and that's immediately what happened. It's when Shannon Gomez came on, he got pushed up to the wing in front of Shannon. And I mean, there wasn't enough time for him to really see how he would do, but I'm excited to see that depth start building as players come back on.
Absolutely. Whether it's Gomez getting some starts or getting some run, or it's Mahoney, because he has some ability at fullback as well. I could see that the spot being taken being Ashes, just considering that Sarge just feels like an important piece of the future, and Tomas Hilliard Arce feels like he's been pretty solid, and it doesn't feel like his job's in jeopardy. Then McCrary, like I said, locked in. It wouldn't surprise me if Mahoney needs to start, if he earns a start, it wouldn't surprise me if it's Ash's spot. And then, yeah, I would like to see what he can do up top in another spot where we talk about probably could use another guy.
Yeah. One thing, I mean, I think it's appropriate to mention is, to speak to that moment-to-moment stuff, is there was times where Briggs was really getting on him. That, you know, he wasn't performing to the standard that...
We can't repeat the language, but there were times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I figured as much. Still learning here. But yeah, there was just a lot of, like, get in there, wake up, come on, let's go play. And, he didn't look all there at times, but... we've seen players move positions and wake up. So who knows? I definitely think he is a possible person to be elected to start rotating in as opposed to a starter.
Yeah. And I mean, you can share what he said. I just, for our listeners' virgin ears, there was some word choice that I think we probably can't repeat on this podcast. We need that explicit tag if we're going to repeat it. But, yeah, I mean, someone is always – every game that I've – the only two games I've seen up close, and then you hear it on TV as well, people are on Ash. People get on him. People criticize him. And like you said, he has these high highs and these low lows, and I think that's kind of what comes from a raw player that is a walk-on, right? You walk on the team, you're going to be a little more raw than the guys that – you know, I've been there for a long time, working with each other for a long time. And that's the point I wanted to get to next. You know, we mentioned Belmar earlier. I would say that Belmar and Ash probably have the least chemistry with the rest of the team. And I think that, like, there are times, like, as far as communication goes, where guys maybe argue with each other, guys get on each other, guys, you know, scream at each other sometimes. Those guys tend to be in those moments and tend to be the guy that is getting criticized. And I think it's because they're both new to the team. You know, Belmar was a transfer for this season and Ash walked on. And, you know, compared to guys that have played together for years, guys that, you know, were winning championships at Stanford together, guys that, you know, you look at some of the academy players that have been, like, playing together for 5 years, even if they haven't been in the first team. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a process of getting acclimated.
I can see that. There's definitely I have a friend that I talk soccer a lot with that talks a lot about professionalism and that affecting your cohesiveness in a team. Because when Briggs was getting on Ash a little bit, I don't want to say back talking or arguing, but he was definitely saying something back to Briggs, perhaps most likely explaining why he was doing what he was doing, and Briggs just shut it down. Nope. Don't just wake up. Just wake up. And so I think that's probably part of it. If he gets scapegoated a lot and then he's back talking, that's just going to, again, back talking probably not the best word to use, but that might be something that's digging the hole deeper, if you will. Do you want to get into some goals, or there's anything else that really stuck out to you?
No, yeah. Tell us about this first goal.
First goal, Skundrich. And, you know, it's funny because Apollon got the assist on this. Apollon, you know, we had a ball served up the middle to Formella, who cut in, or at least faded in. I think it was from Sarges. Sarges serves the ball up to Formella. Formella lays it off to Apollon. And Apollon, which we've seen him do a lot throughout the season, these really hard mid-body level crosses, just bullets into the box. And we'd seen it a few times this game, and we've seen it a bunch of this season again. But this one was the one as soon as he sent it, I was like, that's it. And it was a goal. Runs past Cameron to land on Skundrich's foot, and just a great, great, great goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just, I think it was kind of one of those where he was sending in a lot of crosses. You could call them late crosses. Like, he really would get down to, you know, almost, you know, parallel to the 6 yard box and then send one in, and he sent a bunch of them in consecutively, and one snuck through, and there was knocking on the door, and I'm glad to see Skundrich put that one in. It's his first goal since the first game of the season. He's got two this year, but that first goal against FC Tulsa feels like an eternity ago at this point. I'll say that Briggs was really getting upset at a certain point with the finishing, and from being there in training all week, he's been on them about their finishing a lot. They'll do drills that, you know, end up in shots on goal, and he is not satisfied with their finishing. He, you know, I am not quoting him directly, paraphrasing a bit, but basically, I've heard him, you know, yelling at his guys, you're perfect. Everything's perfect. Everything's perfect until you're finishing. Everything's perfect until you get in the box. Everything has been perfect. This build-up, beautiful, and you're ruining it. You're spoiling it on this last touch.
And it's so true. That's something I've heard other podcasts talk about. We've talked about it. And it seems – and coaches backing it up too. Like, this team is playing great. But something about that final touch is not working the way it should be. We are an attacking team, with a strong defensive stat. Like, the only, like, we should be scoring more. Like, that's what's keeping us from going. Let me not say anything, but, like, hopefully advancing into the playoffs and hopefully going far is that finishing. Skundrich, speaking of, had, I believe it was before the goal, had a really great chance off the post, bouncing in the goal mouth and just kind of spinning out of the goal. That was a really intense moment from Sarges. On his heat map, one thing I've noticed a lot is there's kind of his general holding midfield areas that are very red, and there's a specific spot where he scored his goal from that's also in that box. It's pretty lit up as well, and so that's his spot. He has that, like, kind of – it, by one of the posts in front mid box area, that's his spot. When we're attacking, that's where he goes, and hopefully we start seeing him throw some more in there.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, at that point it was just like, couldn't buy a goal. I couldn't believe it, how unlucky that one was. And it was just so emblematic of the troubles and the frustrations that have been happening all season. Were you concerned at that point, 52nd minute, still down a goal? Were you concerned about not only dropping 2 points, but possibly three?
You know, one goal just never seemed out of reach. Two did to me. So, yeah, I was definitely concerned about dropping points, but a loss never seemed realistic to me with the way these games go.
Gotcha.
What about you?
No, I had a real concern. I had very real concern. I just, because of the poor finishing, not only in matches, but in practice that I saw all week, I'm like, all right, well, you know, they're playing great, but if anything was going to undo them, it's these strikes on goal. And yeah, I mean, especially after seeing that, I think the goalie got a hand on it and then went off post, and then it was just spinning on the ground. And the goalie just turned around and collapsed on it. But that just felt like, okay, well, it's just unlucky. Just an unlucky night here.
I see you on that. And then, yeah, I mean, the second goal, if you're ready to continue, it worked out. Quick ball up from I honestly can't remember who served the ball in. It may have been Formella, if I'm remembering correctly, but just a nice through ball, splitting, just a dagger through the belly of T2, and Cam was able to control it and throw it into the net. It was a great goal. Nothing too crazy, just pretty, pretty routine, I guess is how I would categorize that. But great finishing, clinical. Needed that, and from someone like Cameron Awasa, that's who you need to go ahead and seal a game up for you.
Yeah, this was a nice one. It came from Bijev, dug a ball out of the left corner and sent a cross in. A little bit wild, there wasn't much to that cross, but it found Belmar, and Belmar turned back to his own goal, looked for his own guys, and sent it back to McCrary. McCrary at that point kind of had a scattered defense. He was looking at guys that were kind of collapsing on Belmar. It was a nice decision to put it back to McCrary, who was coming ahead. And McCrary just saw where the defense said there's a vacuum right there. And Iwasa had seen it too. So he's making a run right into that space and just fed it through perfectly.
Yeah, in that moment, I mean, you don't see – where were you at that point? Did you think T2 could have scored again? Did you think it was in the bag by then?
I thought it was in the bag, because what Briggs has been saying about Portland all week, and I trust him when he says this, is that when they get down, they get down, right, physically. So, like, when they go down a goal, they get down on themselves mentally. And I think that they're very, very – they're young. They're very young. They're very confident in themselves. They believe they can win every game. But then when they drop the ball, they lose faith in themselves. And I think that's kind of what happened here.
That's funny because, I mean, with this, that was their first goal, meaning that's their first time they've gone up on an opponent. That's a good insight. I'll have to pay attention for that when we play them the next round or the next game. Very interesting.
All right, I want to move to a segment here. I got an idea for a segment.
Okay.
Do it real quick, and we're going to get out of here, not have a super long podcast so that we can save some stuff to talk about with Evan later in the week. I'm going to call it buy or sell. Buy and sell.
Oh, God.
No, buy and sell. Well, I know it's like a classic, like what? Like it's a classic sports radio bit or whatever.
Right.
But I just want to do this real quick. I think it was a fun thing to think about on the drive home. If every player, observe them as stock, right? Their form as stock, whether they're going to, you know, improve or, you know, backslide a bit in the coming weeks. Buy stock in one player, sell stock in one player. So you think one guy's going up in performance, one guy's going down. I'll start. So you can think about it for a minute. I'm going to buy stock in Carlton Belmar. I believe that he's going to put it together. The more that I think about him as a transfer coming in, really getting, you know, and a new coach, there's a lot of new. This environment is not normal for him. It's not what he's been used to. I know he's a professional guy, but then, like, you know, this year is also super abnormal. I think that the link up hasn't gotten to him yet, but I just believe so strongly in his ability to finish, because while he hasn't done it so far, I see the skill, I see the ability, I see the, you know, the burst of speed, the strength, the intelligence to sit there and read his man. You know, he's not going to make the perfect dribble every time. He's not going to cutting in or cutting out. He's not always going to choose that right, but he puts it on him, you know, and he really puts pressure on his defender. And I think that he's been cutting outside a lot to send crosses in. And I think eventually he's going to be like, nah, screw this. I'm cutting inside and I'm making runs on the goalie and I'm going to put pressure on the goalie now.
One thing we pointed out about him was he seems to be like a last option. They seem to choose other options when available, even if he's available. But one thing we were talking about in the later on in the second and the first half was, oh, they're finding him a lot more. He looked really good. We both agreed that he looked much better. Even in warm up, I was like, ooh, he's looking strong to me today. Never seen him warm up, but he just looked good. And they were finding him a lot more in that second half or in that, I'm sorry, and later on in that first half. So I can definitely jump on board with buying some stock in Carlton Belmar. Let's see. I am going to go and say sell Bijev. I'm going to go a little bit of a sell on Bijev. Maybe hold a little bit, see what the market does. But this was another drop in performance for me by Bijev. The body language, again, every time it's going to be body language is going to be our first kind of sign. And it didn't seem there this time either. So keep your eye out on the market for Bijev if we're gonna play that.
He was my sell as well, and it's tough to see it. We talked about his role in the goal out. I don't want to FIFA-fy things, right? We know FIFA isn't real soccer. Completely different worlds. But if you'll allow this analogy for a second, you know, on FIFA, every player has a work rate as an attacker and a defender. Man, Bijev's work rate as a defender is so poor. He does not work at all on defense. I you know, the occasional time when he thinks that he can take the ball off someone, he'll, you know, get that kind of spark in him. But generally speaking, man, he is just – I don't think he's engaged defensively, which is – I don't know. It it's not the end of the world, but playing the 10, I just would like to see him work a little harder to get back and defend.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let me do a bye here. I'm going to say bye Matt Mahoney for sure. I mean, not sure why they decided to why Briggs decided to sub him on in the first half for Hilliard Arce, but man, he looked more of a presence. I went through the stats a little bit. Stats were pretty similar. Matt Mahoney had a couple more clearances, but I just think his presence there was just much, much more visible when he came on. I noticed him a lot more than I did Hilliard Arce. So I wouldn't hate – I definitely don't think you, like, start him over Hilliard Arce, but I definitely like that role of him coming on and adding a real crucial piece to the defense when you need to lock it down.
Great. He absolutely could come in and start for Hilliard Arce. I don't even want to rule that out. So it's possible. It's possible. That's a great choice. Let's do our top three. Last thing we're going to do before we get out of here. Would you mind doing all three of yours first? I have been doing King stuff all day, so I haven't had time to make a list. But if you give me your top three, I can kind of use that as a reference point and get this thing done.
Yeah. So, you know, number three, I don't want to say throwaway, but it's kind of a honorable mention. Just Shannon Gomez, man. It's an amazing story to have him on. The things that, you know, we didn't get to really see his full game. I'm hoping to see him maybe play at least another 30 minutes next game. Doesn't seem unreasonable to me. But didn't really get to see how his performance was going to be. But one thing we heard at the post-match press conference was that he didn't even know he was going to come on. So coach kind of told him, you know, go start warming up, go get ready. And he was excited. He was shocked, super stoked. I mean, he's been on the bench three times, and this was his third time. So it's about time. It was bound to happen eventually. But one thing, the reason why I kind of added this as far as a tactical standpoint is the other things it's going to open up around the field. We've talked about what it's going to do for Ash. We talked about some things that it could help in the back line, what he's going to offer through there. So I'm very excited and wanted them to put him at my three spot for sure. You want me to just keep going or you want to add things as I go?
Do your top three. I vibe with that. I respect that. I'm really, really, really happy for Gomez. But keep going here with your top two.
Yeah, and then number two, I had Matt Mahoney. Just based off of everything I've said before, just reiterate real quick, his communication was awesome. Had a couple key blocks. Looked great. Looked absolutely great to me. And my number one was Drew Skundrich. Scored a goal, always a powerhouse in the midfield defensively and attacking, and just his overall communication with the team. And you know, I always got to take character into account, not necessarily when you're talking a top three, but just when you're kind of trying to get to know these players more than just sports players, you know, sports athletes. His going into the locker room, going into the press conference, and not only saying, you know, here's what we did wrong as a team, but here's why I find myself at fault for that as well. Overall character, awesome. Scoring a great, really, really needed that goal. So awesome performance for him.
I love it. I am going to split my third. I've done it before. We've done it before. I'm going to split my third for two guys. I'm going to give it to Roro and Iwasa. Both just, you know, standards for this team. Both the really, you know, I mean, the backbone, I would say, in terms of just consistent talent on this team. I think both had nice games. The goal from Iwasa was crucial. That was the, you know, the winner, I guess you'd say. the deciding goal ultimately to get the 3 points. And Roro, I mean, I think again, like, I mean, truly every game, most creative passer. But yeah, just giving that to those guys there. Number two, I am going to give some love to McCrary. We talked about the assist. Very nice feed into Wassa. And a couple other legit chances. I mean, he creates chances. Not only is he a super solid defender, we talked about it today, maybe the most consistent defender on the team, but really surprises you from time to time in attack. He's probably going to get a goal pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised by the way that he makes some aggressive runs out of that right back spot. And number one, I'm just going to agree with you completely on Skundrich. If it weren't for – yeah, he had the goal, but if it weren't for his vocality, if it weren't for his – how loud he's willing to get and command this team to stay awake, to stay engaged, if you had some dude that just was like kind of a mild-mannered, you know, quiet guy, this team might not be any good at all, quite frankly, because they struggle with engagement. They struggle with body language. And Drew is always there screaming like a banshee to get everybody – to get their heads in the game. So goal plus the leadership, absolutely giving it to Skundrich. And I think it's the first time I've put him in one of my top three. So well-deserved there, or at least since March. So well-deserved there. Great game all around. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up right now?
Let's just do predictions real quick. What do you have the score line at Portland?
We got a long way to go, 10 days until the next game. So maybe we'll get a couple of guests in here between now and then. But I'm gonna just take what we got and kick it up one notch and say 3-1. And that's going to be away in Portland.
Yeah, I three goals seem doable to me. But I'm going to go 2-0. Again, that finishing has been an issue. We're going away. But I think we can hold them to a shutout. I think we learned our lessons. This team in T2 clearly aren't the attacking powerhouse. So if we can hold them off and score a couple, I'd be happy.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please reach out to us on Twitter at Rise Republic Pod. We would love to discuss this team with you in any way you'd like to. And even more importantly, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast, it does wonders for us. It'll take you only 30 seconds. And thank you so much for listening, and go Republic.
Peace.